The Israel Report with Rolene Marx.
Hello, Rolene Marx.
Hello, Kathy. And if I'm correct, there is a Paul in studio.
There
Hi,
is a
Rolene.
Paul in studio.
It's me.
Hello, Paul. You know, yesterday's connection wasn't so great. So I thought maybe it's voices in my head. But you are in studio. I missed you.
I am the ghost of Christmas past. No, wait. That's not an apt reference.
Again, controversial.
It's quite controversial, yeah.
It's just going to get more controversial, guys. I hope you've got your helmets, your flak jackets, your putt buzzer, your whatever you're going to need for this.
I hope you're ready for romance, Rolene, because it being Erev Tuba'av, Kathy is just dealing out the compliments and the kisses to all of our normal correspondents.
But so far, he's only accused me of doing that with women.
I think that's appropriate.
Because some romance clearly needed here with our top story.
100%. Okay, so let's talk about it.
Let's go right in. Okay, so it is confirmed as of a couple of minutes ago that U.S. Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar will be barred from coming into Israel. And I have to say this, guys, and here, this is where I've got my flak jacket on, I've got my cat, I've got my stilettos, I've got everything that I need. I don't necessarily agree with this decision, and neither do a lot of Israelis and pro-Israel groups in America. There's a lot of, again, nuances and layers to this story, but it is confirmed because it did break this afternoon that perhaps there would be barred entry. It wasn't confirmed. It is confirmed within the last, I'd say, about half an hour that they will be barred from coming in.
Rolene, sorry, I do have to interrupt you. In some breaking news, there has been a stabbing in the Old City of Jerusalem. It looks like it's happened in the Old City, and it looks like it's happened just outside the Chorvah Shul.
Okay, so let's have a look at what's going on.
Yeah, it looks like it's just happened.
Okay, we'll get those updates as this progresses.
Okay. Apologies. Okay, so let's carry on talking about the news until more information comes through.
No apologies when we have to break news. Unfortunately, we wish it was better news. Am I right?
Yeah.
100%. Okay.
Okay, so let's unpack this. Israel has a law in place that allows the country to ban anybody who they deem a threat to national security or a proponent of BDS from entering the country. I have been on record by saying I'm not necessarily a supporter of this law. If they are really, really heinous, by all means. But if it's somebody who's mildly active, let them in. And I know people are going to say, but you know, these two have said very, very anti-Semitic and controversial comments. They should be barred. Correct. But
should they be?
I think here's my counter argument. I think we have to be very, very, very clever and strategic and look at these things a lot more smartly and a lot less knee jerk. First of all, we have to look at the office that they both hold. They both hold a quite serious office in America, which is our strongest ally. They are both congresswomen. They are also both congresswomen with very, very, very big social media followings, and whether we like it or not, a lot of influence. And although their followers may not necessarily be very educated on issues surrounding the Middle East, they look at them as emblematic of something that is very, very different to what's happening in America at the moment. They see them as a symbol of diversity. They see them, naturally as women who have managed to achieve at a time where we are very sensitive to gender equality. And they are also a minority. And, this does impact on how they proceed and how this is going to proceed. And this really does no great services to Israeli democracy. Okay, Kath, I'm going to do what you just did. I'm going to come in with breaking news. We have one person injured in the stabbing attack. How serious? We don't know yet.
Okay, so it's a developing story, but we will keep you updated.
Rolene, and I'm not just saying this to get back at Kathy, I actually agree with you. I agree that the perception and the media, the strategic value of engaging with Israel's biggest ally is important. And I think there's also broader issues of free speech and, as you said, how this reflects on Israel as a democracy. And speaking of these geopolitics, the Israeli ambassador to the UN, that post was going to be filled, and then the top candidate said to Prime Minister Netanyahu, no, thank you. What's happening there?
Okay, so let's have a look at this, because this is a very, very big posting. I would actually imagine that this is quite a coveted post amongst diplomats. And I mean, if we look at who have been the ambassadors to the United Nations, you know, we have the magnificent Abba Eben, who came from our neck of the woods, guys.
Yes,
that's from from Southern Africa, a real legend in his time and still today, who had, you know, just who marshaled the English language and took it into the hallowed halls of the United Nations to stand up for Israel. And today we still quote him. We've also had incredible ambassadors like Ambassador Danny Gilliman, Ambassador Ron Prosor, and we have to give massive kavod to Ambassador Danny Danon, who has represented us magnificently. But like all postings, and this is going to be the same for many of our ambassadors around the world, his time there is almost at an end, and who will replace him? So some of the names that have been bandied about, Naftali Bennett, as maybe part of some pre-election negotiation, that kind of came and went. Gilad Erdan, a Minister of Strategic Affairs, who said that he's going to decline in order to help Likud win the election. That answer I'm a little bit suspicious of, because the election's only a month away. And now we hear that it could perhaps be former Mossad chief Yossi Cohen, or the ambassador to the United States is also about to end his term there, Ron Dermer. So the race is on, but I'm sure whoever fills that very, very distinguished, very, very coveted position, I have to say my personal pick would be Mark Regev if he is up to it. So I don't know, Bibi or maybe future prime minister, whoever that may be. And I'm not predicting election results, people. and Mark Regev, if you are listening, I'm throwing your name in there.
Rolene, I just wanted to ask you, do you know what the criteria are? I mean, what are the qualities that, that, you know, Israel would look for? Because, I mean, when one mentions somebody like Naftali Bennett as a spokesperson for Israel, you can't beat. I mean, there's really two people who can speak brilliantly, from inside Israel. And the one is Benjamin Netanyahu, and the other one is, Naftali Bennett. I mean,
I've got like goosebumps with this question, and I think that's such an excellent question. And funny enough, who has served as our ambassador to the United Nations but one, Benjamin Netanyahu, as well?
Exactly.
And that's an excellent question, because what kind of criteria do you need? And you don't necessarily have to be a career diplomat, because we have had people who haven't served in the diplomatic or be our representatives at the United Nations. But I think you have to be somebody who has excellent command of the English language. I think you have to be somebody who's got an extra layer of thick, tough skin, because, you know, I don't need to tell you, our listeners, that it's a very, very, very tough posting to hold. And I think you have to be somebody who has the ability also not just to work as Israel's chief representative in probably the most hostile posting around the world, but along with that, you still have to have the ability to talk to other missions to the United Nations, to navigate the very, very unique politics that exists only within the halls of the United Nations.
Rolene Marks, thank you so much, as always. We're going to be catching up with you again next week, Monday afternoon.